It's now time to head over to Folkways FM for March 2024's Almanac. The warmest of welcomes to March 2024's Almanac. Irish, Martyr, Welsh, Mouth, Scots Gaelic, Immarshed, Cornish, Ms. Mirth. March, Mirth, Martyr, Immarshed. Which god do you think March is named after? It is, of course, Mars, the Roman god of war. It's a month that not only marked the beginning of the year, if you do go back far enough, but also that marked the return to active farming, military engagements, and sailing. So as you just heard there, the Celtic languages went for a direct borrowing from the Latin, whilst Manx Gaelic went for something a bit different, where the month is called Mayn Áirí, which means middle of spring. I found that Manx Gaelic is the most related to what the natural world is doing, the seasons, compared to the other languages. And if you're a long-time listener of the Almanac, you might have noticed that also. Like I've mentioned previously, this is one of the most enjoyable things about learning the different names of the months. Names can put you more in touch with where we are in the seasonal wheel. In Old English, March was known as Hreðmannath to the Anglo-Saxons, and it was named in honour of a pagan fertility goddess named Hreðr. Her name eventually became Lide in some southern dialects of English, and I spelt that because I'm not sure of the pronunciation, I've never heard it pronounced. Lide, is that Lide, Lede, Lide? I'm not sure. If you know, get in touch with me. But yeah, Lide month or Lide month was still being used locally in parts of southwest England as recently as the 19th century. Isn't that interesting? As recently as the 1800s, this link to Hreðr was still present. All hail Hreðr. At the beginning of March, we saw St. David's Day, of course, also St. Piran's Day, one of Cornwall's most popular saints, who is also known in Brittany and Wales. Piran was claimed as the patron saint of Cornish tin miners, and they regularly took this day off work in his honour. Although, as Steve Roud makes clear in his tome at the English Year, the only detail that has survived of their celebrations is that they always got roundly pished. The 17th of March, of course, is St. Patrick's Day, the patron saint of the Emerald Isle. He's famed for bringing Christianity to Ireland, as well as driving out the so-called snakes. It is extremely good news in that the spring equinox is just around the corner. To be extremely precise, this year it falls on Wednesday the 20th of March at 3:06 a.m. Spring, I am ready. This year Easter falls on Sunday the 31st of March. And thinking of this time of year, I've got some interesting information about Pax cakes, P-A-X. In three Herefordshire churches, those of Selick, Hentland and King's Capel, a custom that may be 500 years old takes place every Palm Sunday. So after the normal service, round shortbread biscuits called Pax cakes are handed by the vicar to each of the congregation with the spoken blessing, peace and good neighbourhood. These words were also stamped on the cakes, along with an image of a lamb. The custom is said to date from the will of Thomas More in 1484, or of Lady Scudamore's good name, Lady Scudamore in 1570, or both even, which provided for a feast to be held in the church each year to promote peace and friendship. The feast may have dwindled to just a biscuit, the Pax cakes, but the principle is still the same. Peace and friendship, we all need a bit of that. If you woke up in Sunderland at the beginning of March, you saw the sunrise at 6:50 and set at 17:45. Swansea, sunrise 6:55 and set at 1800. And Sligo, sunrise 7:15 and set at 18:15. So now in March, we have on average around 11 hours of sunlight a day, and hopefully that should warm the cockles as we're up from 9 hours per day in February. That's right, we have gained 2 hours from this time last month. That's a nice thought, isn't it? The moon is new on March the 10th, whilst the full moon is March the 25th. This year, March's moon is known as the egg moon. So the names for each month can change year to year due to the lunar calendar and where in the month the full moon falls. I'm going to pay a bit more attention to this to make sure it is right for each year. So yeah, this year, 2024, our full March moon is the egg or Easter moon, with other names from these islands including the budding moon, new shoots moon, seed moon, and the growing moon, all evocative allusions to spring. Looking to the March skies, you can see the unmistakable Orion, who follows the distinctive pattern of Taurus across the sky, while high above them, bright stars Capella and the twins Castor and Pollux, the Gemini constellation, remain high in the sky until late in the evening. Today's place of the month is Milford Haven in Wales, and I'm going to read a short extract from the Welsh fairy book by W. Jenkin Thomas to explain why. The people of Pembrokeshire were for a long time puzzled to know where the fairies, or the children of Rhys the Deep, as they are called, lived. The fairies used to attend the markets at Milford Haven regularly. They made their purchases without speaking, laid down their money and departed, always leaving the exact sum required, which they seemed to know without asking the price. A certain Griffith was wont to supply them with more corn than anybody else, and there was one special butcher at Milford Haven upon whom they bestowed their patronage exclusively. To ordinary eyes, they were invisible, but some keen-sighted persons caught glimpses of them at the markets of Milford Haven. No one, however, saw them coming or going, and great was the curiosity as to where they lived, for even fairies must make their home somewhere. One day, Griffith was walking about St. David's churchyard when he saw islands far out at sea where he had never observed land before. "Ah," he said, probably in Welsh, "there are the green isles of the ocean, about which the poets sing. I will go to see them." He started to go down to the seashore to get a nearer view, but the islands disappeared. He went back to the place where he had seen the vision, and he could again see the islands quite distinctly, with houses dotted here and there among green fields. He could see them. Now, Griffith was a very acute man, so he cut the turf from which he espied the islands, the turf he was standing on, and then he took it down to a boat. He stood upon this piece of turf, and, setting sail, before long he landed on the shore of one of the islands. The fairies welcomed him warmly, and, after showing him all the wonders of their home, they sent him back loaded with presents. They made him, however, leave behind the enchanted turf and pointed out an underground passage by which he could come to visit them. He continued to be a great friend of the fairies, or the children of Rhys the Deep, as they're called, as long as he lived, and the gold they presented with him made him the richest man in West Wales. An interesting passage there about the green isles of the ocean. Many times in fairy lore, I have read Milford Haven and its markets being linked to the good people. But this passage was interesting in that it goes on to talk about underground tunnels and that possibly the patrons of these markets live elsewhere, as the passage did say, well, where do they come from, as they must sleep somewhere. The idea of magical fairy isles out to sea will be covered in detail in the main show. However, if you're a resident of Milford Haven and you know anything about this, or perhaps you have spied one of the gentry, or the Tylwyth Teg, I should say, drop me a line. This is Lines Written in Early Spring by William Wordsworth. I heard a thousand blended notes while in a grove I sat reclined, in that sweet mood when pleasant thoughts bring sad thoughts to the mind. To her fair works did nature link the human soul that through me ran, and much it grieved my heart to think what man has made of man. Through primrose tufts in that green bower, the periwinkle trailed its wreaths, and 'tis my faith that every flower enjoys the air it breathes. The birds around me hopped and played, their thoughts I cannot measure, but the least motion which they made, it seemed a thrill of pleasure. The budding twigs spread out their fan to catch the breezy air, and I must think, do all I can, that there was pleasure there. If this belief from heaven be sent, if such be nature's holy plan, have I not reason to lament what man has made of man?